The Guardian.
All right, those background noises you can hear is the heavily subsidised coffee here at Portcullis House in Westminster. And I'm sitting opposite Karen Buck, who's going to tell me some stuff about housing policy and how beastly the Tories are going to be in London. You made a blood-curdling speech at the Progressive London Conference in which you talked about a return to slum landlordism of the Notting Hill era in the bad old days. You believe all the worst things that we've heard about Conservative policy in terms of London housing. What justifies such, what they would call, alarmist stories?
Well, what we know as an absolute fact is the policy stated by Grant Shapps is that they will not guarantee secure tenancies to new tenants. That is on the record as a policy. Now, given the very high turnover of tenancies that we have in social housing, particularly in London, which is a very mobile population, we are already starting from day one a very swift process towards seeing people moving into much more insecure accommodation. That's official national policy. We also then have a stated preferences at local government level. Take, for example, Westminster Council, very influential in the National Conservative Party. Their view, set on record in a local government association pamphlet, is to allow local authorities to discharge their duties to homeless households into the private rented sector. Now, those two policies alone together are sufficient to turn the clock back to a time when the most needy and vulnerable households, very much the case in the 40s and 50s when there was a high threshold to get into council housing, would find themselves in the private rented sector. Now, that does not of itself guarantee that you're back to slum landlordism. But what it does mean is that some of the worst conditions are in the private rented sector, and we are going to, under these policies, see the most vulnerable people put there.
Okay, but in terms of security of tenure, isn't there an ongoing debate in the world of housing associations, social housing in the broader sense, about whether you need to change the rules? I mean, it's because you have situations where people, they get themselves into a nice social rented home of one type or another, they stay there forever. Sometimes they start to earn a lot more money than they were earning when they moved into it. It's that sort of conversation that's going on. Is there no kind of argument for changing the rules as they stand at the moment?
Well, the people who advocate these different theories come at it from two absolutely mutually contradictory positions. On the one hand, we get people saying it is outrageous that one gives a secure tenancy, implying in some way a sort of, you know, a luxury penthouse suite in Covent Garden that, you know, that is being given to somebody, let's say when they get pregnant at 15, and then later on they become a multimillionaire fashion designer and they still stay in this subsidised accommodation. On the other hand, many of the same people criticise social housing as being a concentration of the extremely poor. Now, it is not possible to build a social policy on both arguments at the same time. Actually, the truth is that most tenants are disproportionately, compared to national average income and wealth, are very low income. They are in social housing almost overwhelmingly because they cannot afford to be in the private rented sector. And we need to retain social housing for that purpose. In addition, most people who enter social housing these days do so because they are vulnerable by virtue of homelessness, which is a very, very difficult condition for people to have to go through. So social housing needs to be there to meet those needs. What happens when people start earning a lot of money? Well, as I've said, actually, the numbers in this category are very, very small. I think we live with it. I think if we want mixed tenure, we want communities of people living different lives with different kind of incomes, then social housing should be like that as well. Why make social housing more residual than it is already by forcing people out of it, out of Hackney, out of North Paddington, at the very time when they start earning some money? Keep them in those properties, being, you know, parents at the local schools, being part of a local community with a bit of money to spend and part of a useful peer group.
Is there nothing, though, in the argument which is advanced by Hammersmith and Fulham, most vocally, that you need to take much more radical action to break up, the term social ghetto has been used, these kinds of communities to enable there to be a richer, if you like, mix of social, of housing types, more mixed communities? This talk of mixed communities is something which is also used by Labour authorities. Hackney, where I live, You know, famously, we decanted, to use this rather unfortunate term, people from tower blocks, built different kinds of homes. There's a lot of common ground, isn't there? What makes the Tories' version of this so much more wicked than Labour's?
Well, there is a lot of common ground around the concept of the mixed community. Absolutely right. I mean, nobody, no sensible person, even at the time when we were building some of these original estates, wanted them to be large concentrations of very low-income people. In fact, oddly enough, and it's going at a slight tangent, but oddly enough, Right to Buy made that situation much worse, because a lot of those people who did have some income in the 1980s, who were council tenants, bought their homes, usually moved, and rented those properties back to other low-income households, quite often homeless people, to the council. So, you know, that actually exacerbated the situation itself. We are all in favour of mixed communities. Hackney, Newham, Tower Hamlets, places like this, which have a very high level of social housing, it is, in my view, entirely right that they want to attract some middle income, not necessarily very rich enclaves of people who don't spend money in the local economy, but middle income households through shared ownership, through a bit of low-cost affordable housing. What that means, however, is that Hammersmith, Harrow, Westminster, Ealing, these other boroughs, the more affluent boroughs, should have their share of social and low-cost affordable housing. In fact, what we're seeing is that these Tory boroughs squeezing or trying to squeeze their social housing out of their areas completely, squeeze their poorer families out of those areas completely. I don't see Hammersmith and Fulham Council, for example, saying, well, actually, yes, let's break up the White City estate a bit because we think there's too much of a concentration of very low-income households, and let's build a whole load of new social housing in Fulham. No way. They do not want low-income people living in Hammersmith and Fulham at all. And frankly, I have no doubt that there are political motives behind that thinking.
We could just talk for a minute about Boris Johnson's housing policy, which is different from Ken Livingstone's in several significant ways. One is that he has abandoned the so-called 50% rule. Yeah. And argues that by giving boroughs, in a sense, more autonomy, or by negotiating with them constructively, you get better results. And he's also shifted the emphasis to some extent towards helping more people sort of get a foot on our old friend the housing ladder. Now, they defend the latter by saying that this is actually what everybody wants, and people in big housing associations in London will also say to you, you know, it's all very well talking about, you know, social housing for rent, but what everybody wants, almost everybody wants, is a chance to buy their own home or a little bit of it. What's wrong with that?
Well, I mean, for a start, that last one is simply not true. I mean, the survey research that's done into the attitudes of social tenants shows consistently a high proportion of people who do not want to own their own properties, almost always because they know on a careful assessment of their income that sustaining a mortgage, particularly in London, it may be their home for generations in some cases, that is not tenable. People want security. That is the simple thing that what people want most out of their property. They want then some flexibility, which social housing doesn't provide very well. Completely agree with that. So that's absolutely right. So should we be providing incentives for people to own their own homes who are at the margins, who are lower income? Absolutely. Totally agree with that. I think there have been schemes, I mean, it's too complicated, there's too many different schemes, but nonetheless, absolutely right. Let's do that. Let's encourage people who are earning to be able to move out. And until actually about the early part of this decade, there was a healthy flow out of social housing every year from people who did then think, yes, you know, I've got myself a secure job, I will now take that step out. That stopped. Why has it stopped? Because people simply can't afford it anymore with house prices. Yes, let's do that. But what Boris Johnson is doing wrong with his scheme is lifting the threshold of subsidy up to around the level of my salary. Now, I do not think that people on an MP's salary should be getting public subsidy to buy their own home. I think that's completely wrong. And I have no doubt that when we start looking at a careful analysis after a year or two, it is going to be these higher earners who will be getting the most benefit out of the scheme.
What do you think Labour's record on housing has been in all these years of government, with particular reference to London?
Well, I think, to be absolutely honest, it has been one of our weaker areas of policy. You know, in the terms of public services, it's been health, education, policing that have taken the priority. the Labour spent a lot of money on the Decent Homes Initiative, and I, you know, we need to be very proud of that. I don't have the finger of my fingertips, but I think it's something like £27 billion has been spent on decent homes. And tenants needed that. Housing stock was getting into a terrible condition. So that's absolutely right. But in terms of building new homes, we did not do enough. Ken Livingstone picked that up well. He ran with that fast in the early part of his tenancy. And in London, at least, we were starting to get a significant increase in new home building coming through. But I do not think we did enough. We certainly didn't do enough to plug the gap left by council house sales over the previous three generations. But just because I don't think Labour got the new build strategy absolutely right does not lead me to think that on the basis of the performance of Boris Johnson, the performance of Hammersmith and Westminster and other councils, and the stated policy of the Conservative Party is going to do other than make a already difficult situation dramatically worse.
Okay, final question. Looking ahead to the future, I don't know if there's going to be another Labour government anytime soon, but we might have a Labour mayor again in 2012. What kinds of policies should Labour politicians at whatever level be trying to bring forward? It seems to me that really radical policies are needed. Some of the things that we need appear to be rather contradictory. One of the things that Boris has done, which on the face of it looks quite good, has been he's championed the idea of bringing back Parker, Morris, for larger homes. A lot of overcrowding in London, and yet a limited amount of space. Yeah. We don't want taller buildings, yet how are you going to make the units you need without doing it? Give me some ideas for what an ideal Labour policy would be.
Yeah. Well, I mean, supply is the key. There is no question about that, and supply is not free. But what we do need to look at in this context is the amount of money that is being pumped into housing through housing benefit into the pockets of private landlords, which has always struck me as being insane. Homeless households in London, we've got something in the region of 30,000 at the moment. We are paying rents in some cases of £400, £500, £600 a week to private landlords to keep people in private accommodation who 20, 30 years ago would have gone into social housing. We should be looking at capitalising the flow of subsidy into private housing through housing benefit and making, we can make that stack up. It's not easy to do, but it can be stacked up. So instead of just endlessly pouring money into the benefit system, we should be using that to help fund a flow of new housing. Boris Johnson said he wanted, quite rightly, to look at the use of public land. Well, 2 years on, not a single property has been built on public land since his declaration. So that should be an absolutely urgent priority to get that working. We need to have a really seriously well-funded incentive scheme to encourage those people who want to downsize or would be willing to downsize or leave their property to do so. There are plenty of people who will give up a bedroom or two bedrooms, but we don't make it worth their while. Actually, in financial terms, it makes huge sense to do that. We need a seriously well organised mobility scheme to allow people to swap homes. We haven't had that for decades, and it's a lot of people do move about and swap, but we make it extremely difficult for them to do so. I think we have to look again at how we handle the private rented sector and the extent to which those people who do get housed in private rented accommodation are in very short term tenures, 6 months. Well, if we could actually make those tenures longer and deal with people's desperate need for some degree of security in their home, then that might work too.
Just one other thing. Boris was given a large lump of money to spend on...
The trouble with answering that question is that we're too early a stage because housing lead-ins are very, very long. I mean, the figures that have come through in 2008, so the direct legacy of the money that was given to Ken before the election. But in summary, I mean, there is no doubt in my mind that Boris's policies of creating a priority for people at a much higher earnings level than is necessary will divert money from those we could... from concentrating on those who we really do need to help. I mean, it's basically people on £16,000, £18,000, £20,000, £25,000 a year who are, you know, we really should be trying to get into home ownership to relieve the pressure on social housing. The target, abandonment of the target, of course, means that the Hammersmith and Fulhams of this world, the Westminsters of this world, and of course lots of the outer London boroughs that have incredibly low levels of affordable housing, whether for rent or buy, have, what incentive do they have to deliver? They have no incentive whatsoever. That's why we had to have a target, because we had to have a leverage.
For more great downloads, go to guardian.co.uk/audio.